Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. It's Belinda here, and I am so excited to share today's guest with you, PJ Jonas. PJ is a business owner, goat wrangler, entrepreneur, and mother. After getting goats to provide healthy milk for her 8 children, she decided to put some excess milk into a batch of handmade soap. That decision was the beginning of Goat Milk Stuff, a growing goat milk products business that has been featured on The Today Show, The Doctors, The Huckabee Show, and in the Oprah magazine. We're so excited to have PJ with us today. Welcome, PJ.
Well, thanks for having me, Belinda.
Oh, it is my pleasure. So why don't you take us on a journey a little bit and tell us a little bit more about this journey and your business model and the exciting things that are happening with you today?
I'd love to. So I had gotten the dairy goats originally because I really just wanted the healthy raw milk for the children. I had done a lot of research and studying about healthy living and decided that raw milk was the way to go. And it's illegal to get it in Indiana. So I decided I was just going to have to make it myself. So we got a bunch of dairy goats and I had taught the children how to milk and we learned how to take care of them. And we had a great time with that, just making cheese and all sorts of good stuff with the milk. And one day I had the children in the bathtub and I was just letting them kind of splash around. And for whatever reason, I picked up the baby wash that I had always used. And for the first time ever, looked at the ingredients on it. And I was just so upset to find out that there were all of these chemicals and petroleum-based chemicals and all of these things in there that I would never knowingly put on their skin. And I was like, that's it. Forget it. I am never using this again. I'm going to learn how to make soap. And so I did a whole bunch of research and found that you need to use a liquid and most soap is just made with water. But I was like, okay, well, goat milk is really good for you to drink. It's probably good for your skin as well. And so I decided to put the goat milk in. And what happened was when I made the soap and it was ready to use, I put it in the shower and my husband started using it and his fingertips stopped cracking and splitting.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a problem. He'd been a teacher for years with all the chalk and just everything, all the work he would do at the house and whatnot. He suffered with that for years and we tried everything. And I couldn't believe that just, making goat milk soap was enough to stop that problem. So that was kind of the beginning. It's okay. We have a product here that can really help people with their skin. And so what I did was I learned how to code. I had no idea what I was doing. I learned how to code and put up my first website. And we had to then get people to the website. So we decided to go out and start doing some craft shows. And we would give everybody, that went by our booth, we would give them some free samples. And I started getting all of these calls from these moms and who had children who had eczema. And I didn't realize at the time what a huge problem eczema was. And they were calling me saying, oh my gosh, we have tried everything and using your soap has made the eczema go away. I have got to get more of this. And so that was how Goat Milk Stuff really got its first initial boost and how the business really started to take off.
That is wonderful. And it's a great story. And I know that that is a huge problem with a lot of children, including my own grandchildren. So that is really great to hear. So then kind of what happened from there then, as far as now you've discovered I'm onto something. So take us through that next piece then of the process.
Well, then we had to really figure out how to run a business. It's really easy. We had the taking care of the goats down. We knew how to make the soap, a really good product that was consistent. And it really became a matter of figuring out how to get it into more and more people's hands. So we started doing, social media. We started a newsletter. We continued with the craft shows. And our first publicity break actually happened because of a craft show. We were doing a festival, it's actually a Christmas show down at a high school in Louisville that was put on by the baseball team. And the baseball moms were bringing around donuts to all the vendors. And so my children who have voracious appetites just descended on this woman to get their share of the donuts. And she started asking them questions and they started telling her all about the business and the farm and everything we did. And she eventually came over to me and she said, oh my gosh, I have got to get you on my show. And it turned out she was the anchorwoman for our local ABC station down here in Louisville. And so she came out with a cameraman and put together a segment and aired it. And that was really another big boost in getting the word out that we had a, you know, that our soap really made a difference for people.
That is great. So share with us now then, how has the business shaped your lifestyle today?
Well, you know, we integrate everything we do. You know, we homeschool the children, which I didn't mention, and we don't have separate times for work, separate times for homeschooling, separate times for church. You know, everything is just all integrated into one. And so being a farm family, you know, the whole rhythm is kind of set by the farm, by what's going on in the farm, and the business just kind of follows along with that. But it's really, you know, when I started, it was, I had intended it to be an internet company. The children were really little. My youngest was one when I started. And I knew that I didn't have, I needed to be able to take care of them when they needed me and not be, you know, influenced by having set hours or whatnot. So that helped at the beginning when they were so young. And then when we outgrew our original farm, and we found this location that we're at now, we really made a fundamental switch in not just being an internet company, which we are, we'll always be an internet company, but also becoming a destination and having a farm store that people would just come to and having set hours. And that has radically altered how the family operates, because we used to be able to just, you know, get the orders out for the day and then take off and do whatever we wanted as long as the animals were cared for and that kind of thing. And now we have, you know, we have to be here to answer the phones. We have to be here to cover the store hours. We do have employees. We have 6 full-time employees right now. I could use a couple more. And, you know, integrating all of that has been a really big learning process with a lot of successes, a lot of failures, and just a lot of growth from everybody involved.
Well, that is great. Now you sell more than soap now, is that correct?
We do. So I named it Goat Milk Stuff because I, you know, America's a cow country, right? Everybody drinks cow's milk. We mostly eat cow butter and cow cheese. But there's so many benefits to goat's milk that most people aren't aware of. And I really wanted to raise the awareness of how much healthier goat milk products are for you. And so I named it Goat Milk Stuff with the intention that I was going to get into food stuff. That was ended up being delayed because the soap took off so much. It was all we could do to keep up with that for a number of years. But when we moved to this new property, we built a commercial kitchen. We actually have 2 commercial kitchens, one for our candies. So we make goat milk caramel, goat milk fudge, goat milk toffee, things like that. And then we have a cheese kitchen as well that we make. We make a goat cheese called Chèvre, which is kind of typical to similar to cream cheese. It's kind of spreadable. And then we make a feta and a marinated feta. And we have a pressed goat cheese that we're just starting now as well.
Oh, that's awesome. But then you have a separate facility then obviously to make the soap as well.
Yeah, the original building houses the soap manufacturing and the shipping area, and that's where the farm store is right now. And then the kitchens building that has the kitchens also has what we call the sweet shop, where all the cheese and the candies are all available. We also have gelato now. That's our newest thing. Gelato is like an ice cream. So we have that
sure.
Made out of milk. Yep, as well.
Well, super exciting. That is fun. It's fun to see how it's all expanded just from one small idea, right?
Yeah, it's really all coming together. You know, I didn't think it was going to take 8 years, but I have found that that when things take longer than I think, that's usually God's timing, and it usually works out a whole lot better that way.
Absolutely. And plus, I think it's good for people to know that success comes with hard work and dedication, and it does come over time. It just doesn't, if it came overnight easily to everybody, then everybody wouldn't have these great success stories. I mean, it's the people that stick it out. And like you said, what you didn't think would take 8 years is look where you are 8 years later, but you got to start somewhere, right?
Well, exactly. And I always tell people that there's this, you know, this myth of this overnight success, right? You just, you know,
right.
Automatically happens. And nobody sees all the, you know, years of hard work, all the failures, all the frustrations that went into that all of a sudden, boom, having that magical moment and things kind of take off.
I agree. And it is that behind the scenes work that is, I know without even really knowing you that well, it's perseverance, it's consistency, it's dedication. It's all of those things. And it's hard work. And you've got, you know, not only you and your husband and your 8 children, but you have employees, and it takes kind of everyone really focusing on making that come together. So that's it's a great success story. It's fun.
Yeah. You know, I tell people that, you know, small business isn't dead in America. You know, the American dream is still possible, but it does take sacrifice. And I think that, you know, a lot of people want it to just happen without them having to sacrifice anything. And it does take sacrifice. It takes years of putting off things while you're building it before you get to reap all those, you know, those major benefits that, that people kind of want to just automatically have happen.
That's great. And that's another great word, is sacrifice. So share with us then a couple of your greatest skill sets. This is kind of one of my favorite parts of the interview, because everybody has different skill sets. And I think it's good for people to hear different things that help contribute. It's also a great teaching moment for our podcast. So what would you say that are two of yours that have really helped you in owning your own business?
The first one is, I like to focus on systems and putting the system in place. You know, really trying to make everything as efficient as possible. You know, there's this concept where you make these, go in and you make these huge, big changes, but there's also where you make just the little changes every day, where even if you can just save a couple of steps, you know, physical steps, or a couple of seconds off of something that you do over and over again, that really adds up for the time. So I spend a lot of time just looking at what we do, how we do it, and not just assuming that just because that's the way we've always done it means that that's the best way. So constantly focusing on the systems that are in place and putting in new systems whenever you add new things. The second one is, I'm very good at delegating. I don't need to have control over everything. There are certain things that you know, that I want control over, and I tend to keep those in my realm. But really looking at the people that I have and using them to the best of their ability and pushing things off. We kind of have a rule around here within the family, and we call it the youngest person rule. And it started when the kids were very little. And that means that the youngest person capable of doing the job is the one who does it. So as the children grew older, they were able to then pass down their jobs to their younger siblings and take over something new. And we've kind of applied that in the business as well. And it's not necessarily youngest person, but the one with the least seniority, I guess. And it really keeps the business constantly making, becoming more and more efficient, becoming more and more profitable, and really putting everything together in a way that we don't just stay static. Because if you, as a business, if you stay the same, that's not really very good for long-term growth.
Right. That's a really great piece of advice there for everyone. Because I do think that people like to also be challenged. You know, they don't always want to be stuck in doing the same exact thing. And it's good for everyone to understand all the jobs. That way, if you're ever short on something, someone is able to pitch in and fill in at that particular place. And I think people have a greater sense of accomplishment when they kind of work their way up. So that's a great rule, I think, within a household even, as well as in running a business. So that's awesome.
No, I'm glad you like it.
Yeah. So what is one of your most outstanding accomplishments, or something that you've achieved that's super meaningful for you?
I honestly have to say that the thing that comes to mind when you ask me that is my older children. I had told, you know, I had started Goat Milk Stuff because I really wanted the children's homeschool education to be very practical. I wanted us to have a family business where we were all working together. And I really wanted to be able to help people and you know, promote the goodness of goat milk. And I told the children about a year and a half ago, when my youngest turned 8, that I was giving them 10 years. When the youngest was 18, my husband and I were going to be out of the business. And that means that, you know, I said, I don't mind giving a tour. I don't mind giving an interview. I don't mind, you know, I'll even bag soap for you, but I am not hiring anybody, firing anybody, paying a bill, you know, making a decision. That's going to be all of up to the children. And in the year and a half since I've said that, I've seen the older children really, really step up. They're really proving that they want to run this business, that they are more capable than I even thought they were. And they're having that, you know, that long-term view that I think is so important. I think so many of, you know, things in our country, whether it's our people, whether it's our corporations, whether it's our government, has such a short-term view on things. And when you focus on the short term, whether it's profits or goals or whatever, you really lose so many things that really have moved our country ahead over time. You know, you lose all the research and development, you lose all the long-term strength, you know, all that building of the infrastructure. And so watching them, you know, have that mindset is just more than I could have ever asked for.
That is wonderful. And what great work ethic that you're teaching them as well, right?
That's been the goal. You know, that's been the goal. When you have a business, you can learn work ethic. But when you have a farm business, it's even more so because, you know, the animals come first. You know, my children know that the animals get fed first. We don't eat until the animals are taken care of. You know, they need to be milked twice a day, every day. That means that we have to either, you know, work that around our schedule, or we have to get someone to cover the milking for us. And you can't just be like, oh, I just don't feel like doing that today. It's something that you have to take care of.
Just to give our listeners an idea or comprehension, how many goats are we talking about?
So this year we milked 64 twice a day.
Wow.
And yeah, next year we're breeding 85. So we'll be going up again because the cheese is really taking off. So we're adding more to be able to keep up with the demand for the cheese.
That is awesome. So share with us then an obstacle or a challenge that you faced and then how you worked through that.
One of the biggest difficulties we've had as a business is employees. That was something that I had no idea was going to be so challenging, both with finding the right people and then managing expectations on both sides, both on the employee side and on our side. And, you know, it's something that I'll be quite honest, you know, it was really hard to find people who work as hard as my little kids did. You know, learning that, you know what, it doesn't matter how good the employee is, about how hard they work, they're never going to care about your customers as much as you do. You know, they're never going to care about the long-term growth of the business as much as you do. And so I made a lot of mistakes in hiring people that were not good fits. You know, I had to learn that a person can be a really good person and a person can be a really hard worker. That does not mean they're going to be a good fit in your business. And so that was probably learning that lesson was probably the most, you know, the hardest thing we've done. And the people that we have now are great. We're really, really pleased with the people we have now. So I'm hoping we've turned that corner and I've learned all those hard lessons. So, although I'm sure there'll be more to come.
Well, you know, that is a really big deal. I think anybody who runs a small business, hiring and firing and finding the right fit, that is probably one of most small businesses' greatest challenges. And I don't think they expect that. They figure like, oh, I'm just going to be able to hire people and get them to work. But it isn't that simple. You're right. And so do you mind just sharing, are there any little tips that you found that are better for picking that right person? Or is there certain things you look for? I'm just curious. I think that it being a great challenge, I think people listening to this will go, yeah, I can relate to that, but I haven't figured it out. And it sounds like maybe you've figured out some things.
Go ahead.
What
we ended up doing is everybody's on a 90-day trial. And before they even start that 90-day trial, we get them in here. I don't care when it is, whether it's a Saturday, whether it's evenings, whether it's early mornings, before they are really hired, and just have them spend a couple days, even if that takes a couple months to, you know, get those days in there, so they can actually work in our environment. We can see how they work. We can see how they interact with others. And you can tell pretty quickly when they're actually in the environment, you know, whether you can pretty much tell immediately if it's not going to work. I'll just put it that way. You know, sometimes they can still fool you for a couple of days and some things come out later that you didn't see in those couple of days. But just having that, because what I found for me was I care too much about people, right? If I have someone and I've given them a job and they've left another job, I then feel like totally responsible for them. So even if I know in the first 30 days it's not going to work, I have a very hard time firing someone. You know, I keep wanting to try and giving them more and more chances. And I've learned that I can't, because that's usually what happens. Usually within a week, 2 weeks, I know whether it's a good fit or whether it's a bad fit. And I've just had to do the hard stuff and be like, okay, I'm sorry, this is not going to work out. And so because I know that about myself, that it's really hard for me to do that, getting them in on those couple of days gives me a chance to try and do at least a piece of that without them leaving the job that they're currently at.
That's great. And I think you're absolutely right. Something, a little one-liner that I have the same problem. And I think probably women do more as a whole because we're nurturers by nature. And I feel horrible. I'm the same way as you. I feel really bad if somebody left another job and I want to give them more chances. But usually you do know it pretty.
Yeah, really quickly. You usually do.
Pretty quick. And one of the things I heard as a one-liner a long time ago, and it's just helped me. Like, on both ends, but it's like we're usually quick to hire and slow to fire.
Yep.
And they're like, you need to be slow to hire and quick to fire. Yeah. And that has helped me so much. As soon as I think this person's a fit, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to hire them. And I've learned now, take your time. But having them come in kind of on before leaving a job or checking it out, because all they'd have to do is work on that farm for a couple of days and go, phew, there's no way.
Well, exactly. Because it goes both ways. You know, I had someone who was really good, really good employee, but he needed constant positive feedback from me. And I didn't have that time to give. You know, I've with all the children, with all the employees, with all the animals, with all my jobs, you know, I couldn't be there and do that for him 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 times a day. And he ended up leaving and getting a job in sales, which is perfect for him because he gets this constant feedback that he's done a good job.
Right.
Or doesn't get the sale, then he, you know, it motivates him to work even better. And it was such a good thing for him to get, you know, to realize this wasn't the right environment and that was. And so, you know, it doesn't always end that happily or that that well, but usually most people, if they're not a good fit for you, they usually end up getting into a better place at some point.
Great. That is really awesome advice. So talk to us about working from your happy place. This is one of my favorite questions, and it's the one that sometimes is perplexing for people, but it is the topic of our show. So what does working from your happy place mean to you?
You know, there are a couple of things that come to mind. The first thing is to be in the happy place, I for me have to have everything somewhat balanced. You know, I use the term margin. I have to have margin in my life. I have to have a little bit. If things are out of balance and I'm putting way too much effort into one thing, it's hard for me to find that happy place. The second thing that comes to mind is just being able to work with my family is just more than I could have ever, you know, ever dreamed when I was, you know, when I was younger and before I even had the family. You know, I get to teach my children. I get to work with my husband. He and I complement each other very, very well. We actually enjoy working together, which, you know, I hear not always isn't always the case for some people, but we actually do. And I, you know, I get to watch my customers, respond so favorably to our goat milk stuff, to my children, and to just everything we're doing that really just is so satisfying and just makes all the hard work, you know, you don't even mind it when all of that is, you know, is going so smoothly.
That's what most people say. If you really love what you do, it will never feel like work at all. So that's,
yeah, you know, it is. It's true. And you know, it's as long as it's not out of balance.
Right.
Times when I'm like, oh my gosh, what have we done? You know, and then it's like, okay, some things, you know, I'm totally gotten too far into something. How do we back out of that a little bit, or, you know, bring someone else on to help there or whatnot? Because that burnout is generally a sign that you're doing too much too fast.
Right. And that's good advice as well. So I know one of the things that you had, you always do kind of a pre-interview, but you talk about your strong faith. And do you want to just expand on that a little bit? Because I think that's an important thing for people, just, you know, kind of understanding the whole work-life balance. And I know you had taken the time to put that in your pre-interview. So did you want to expand on that at all?
You know, we have a saying around our family. And the saying is, everything is a God issue. And when we started Goat Milk Stuff, we expanded that. My husband expanded it to say everything is a God issue, including the making and selling of soap. And what I found is that when you segregate everything into little compartments, like, you know, here's your work life, here's your family life, here's your church life, you miss out on so many of the benefits of everything. And so we just really work hard to recognize that, you know, every good thing is a gift from the Lord, and that when we recognize that, and we recognize that, you know, even the frustrating and the bad things, he's trying to teach us something in that, it really helps us to just keep it all in perspective. Because I think that it's so easy to let things get out of hand and out of perspective, you know, whether it's your child is misbehaving and you fast forward 20 years in your head and you have them as a, you know, a juvenile delinquent or whatnot. Or your business has a downturn and you just see everything as, you know, falling apart and reaching bankruptcy. You know, those things we often really take out of context and we really let our brains run with them sometimes. And so by keeping it all in perspective and knowing that God's got a plan and it's up to us to do our part in that, it really just keeps, it keeps us happy. It keeps us sane and it keeps us moving in the right direction.
That's great. So what advice would you give to others who want to be entrepreneurs or maybe start their own small business?
You know, I mentioned earlier, I really do believe that the American dream is still possible. I hear a lot that it's not, that it's dead, and I don't agree with that at all. But I do think that it takes sacrifice. And I think that starts even before you start your business. I think people need to learn to live below their means because, you know, running a business takes a lot of money. And what I found, which totally took me by surprise, was it was when the business was most successful that it needed the most money, because growth takes cash. You need cash to fund that growth. And so, you know, learn how to live very simply, very cheaply, you know, put some money aside. When we had been working on paying off our mortgage for years before we started Goat Milk Stuff. And so we had a huge, huge amount of equity in the home. And when the business started and it really became apparent that it was going to be successful, we had a decision to make. And so what we ended up doing was deciding to bring my husband home full time. And we took a home equity loan and we built on a soap room and an office onto the barn. So we were able to actually run the business and meet the demand for it. And had we not spent all of those years living below our means, you know, we wouldn't have been able to do that. Oh, and the other thing we bought a big vehicle. So we were able to take all the children and all of the products to craft fairs. So that was another purchase that we had made that was all because we'd lived so inexpensively and so frugally for so many years. So, you know, keep in mind that, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to start today. There are things you can do to start today, but that you need to take steps now to position yourself. So when that idea really hits and really starts to take off, you're ready for it.
That's great advice. So share with us some exciting things that you are working on and that you think our listeners could benefit from.
Yeah, so we mentioned earlier that this past year, Goat Milk Stuff really changed from being just a soap company to adding the food products. So that was a huge, huge change for us. The thing that I'm going to be doing and I'm working on now, and it's taking a lot longer than I thought, but I'm just kind of chipping away at it, is I really want to start adding some educational pieces. I get emails and phone calls all the time from people who really want to feed their family more healthy food, who want to use more natural products on their skin, and they really don't know how to go about doing that. So we're able to help them, obviously, with their skin issues. But if they don't live close to us, it's not that they can, you know, come here and pick up milk and whatnot. So really trying to help people make good choices and, you know, just live a more healthier, sustainable lifestyle.
That's great. So just in closing, share with our listeners how they can find you. Like, do you have a website? Do you have Facebook where they can connect with you? Or how can our listeners find out more about your Goat Milk Stuff and a little bit more about what you have to offer?
Yeah, so we're all over social media at Goat Milk Stuff, all one word. We're on Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, Twitter, all those sorts of places. But the easiest place to find us is at the website, and that's just www.goatmilkstuff.com. And the other thing that I wanted to offer, if your listeners are interested, is I'd be happy to give them a free bar of soap. And they can get a hold of that by just going to the website, www.goatmilkstuff.com/happysoap. And happy soap is all one word, and they can go there and get the directions on how they can take advantage of that.
Oh, that is so kind of you. You know, we've done a lot of these interviews since March now, and it's been an exciting new journey for me, that is for sure. And what's really interesting is I've had very, very few people. I just think that this is, I look at it as kind of a God thing too, but I think it's so interesting. Over the course since March, I've had very few people offer a free gift, and both of my interviewees today have offered a free gift to our listeners, and thank you so much. I know I appreciate that on behalf of all of our listeners, and I'm sure that our listeners are going to appreciate that as well. So thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Yes, for being on the call and taking your time today and thank you for just setting a great example for people that want to start a small business right from their kitchen and really make it into a $1 million operation. So I think it's very inspiring, and I wish you absolute nothing but the best with your business.
Thank you so much, Belinda. You have a wonderful day.
All right. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.